Friday we talked about Hebrews 6, and at the end of that chapter, there's that well-known verse talks about the anchor of the soul, this hope we have as the anchor of the soul, and that anchor, that hope is, as we talked about Friday night really briefly, is just in the promises of God. And so just as Greg was sharing these great promises out of Isaiah 40 and 41, those are amazing promises in the midst of the storm and in the midst of the race of faith, as Greg talked about, to be able to lay hold of those, they do provide that anchor for the soul. I wanted to talk a little bit about spurring one another on and encouraging one another in our faith. There's a number of different passages that we see where in the New Testament talks about how do we do this. And in the context of running a race, I've often talked about the aid stations and how when we go to the aid station in a natural race, you get help. Yesterday, the only reason I was thankful for the aid station was because Nathaniel stopped and I didn't. So it slowed him down. That was my only, it's the first time I can ever say I'm thankful for an aid station that I didn't stop at. Yesterday was a lot of fun, and it was different for me than something I've ever had before, with having somebody that I got a chance to run with and run so closely with. And it definitely caused me to reflect afterwards, because you know, we were obviously racing each other. It was funny, at the start of the race, a number of people were telling me what their goals were, you know, in terms of time. Because it says, you know, we're to run this race, run the race with endurance. Run, Paul says, in such a way as to win. And I was thinking about that, because I was thinking, you know, we're not necessarily, we can say, some people would say, and it's true, you do a natural race, you say, what's your goal? I just want to finish. And that's a fair goal. Somebody may not have had the chance to train, they're just out there to do it, and they just say, I just want to finish. Most of the people told me, you know, I want to beat, this is the time I want to beat. I had one person ask me what my goal was. It was Nathaniel, and I never asked him what his was. His was just 1 second less than whatever mine was, is my assumption. So, but you have a goal, and you're out there to run well. And so Paul talks about this to the Thessalonians. He says, therefore, in chapter 5, verse 11, encourage one another and build up one another, just as also you also are doing. And he says then, carries on, and then in verse 14, he says, we urge you, brethren. So this is a way that we can spur one another on. He says, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He says, then, the author of Hebrews in chapter 3, this is a familiar passage, right? This is talking about the warning, really, in Hebrews chapter 3, the warning of unbelief and disobedience, that he's using the Israelites as an example there. And he says in verse 12 in chapter 3 of Hebrews, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that no one will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end. And that last one is in Hebrews chapter 10. And this one is in the midst of, or precedes, what is a pretty very strong warning. But it says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another on all the more as you see the day drawing near. And then he goes on to warn them strongly about the danger of practicing sin in verse 26. That's a well-known verse. But he says here, he's talking about consider and how do we stimulate one another to love and good deeds? And what struck me thinking about the experience yesterday, and that was, obviously there's the passage that I've often shared, and I've kind of correlated it, say, to the aid station and giving somebody who says, In Isaiah 50, he says, the Lord has given me the tongue of the disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens me to listen as a disciple. And that is totally true. God can use us by just sharing a word in season. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of silver and settings of gold. A strange passage that's hard to sort of understand that, except to say it's clearly a benefit, right? But Paul says to the Romans, when thinking about this and in the context of yesterday, he says, I long to see you in chapter 1. He says, I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift to you and that you may be established. That is, then he says, it's that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. And that really struck me, because what encouragement do we get? It's such an encouragement when you see a brother or sister who's just really seeking the Lord, really diligent in their pursuit of the Lord. It can spur us on, much like running a natural race, and somebody's there right with you. There was one point yesterday, I thought my chance of beating Nathaniel was to just keep him behind me, because the trail gets narrow at the end, and I know it's hard to pass. And so we got to the last open, wide section, and I could hear Nathaniel trying to speed up. And so I sped up to keep him faster. This was common yesterday, faster than I wanted to go, but I was like, I just got to keep him behind me. Right? But it's spurring you on, right? It's pressing you on to something that I ran faster than I would have thought I could run. Why? Because somebody was there pushing me. And obviously that was for fun and we were having a natural race. But the analogy of pushing one another in the sense of encouraging one another, not in a competition, but that each of us would be able to stand at the end of this race. Right? I could sit here and say to you, I won yesterday. And you say, well, how did you win? I beat Nathan. Why? Because, well, halfway through the race, I was ahead of him. Right? But what good does that mean? No one said, well, Tim, see if you can beat Nathaniel or any of the youth part of the way, right? It's finishing that race and finishing it well, right? And that's the point, is that I was really on my heart this morning was, wow, I saw yesterday what running with someone who's pushing you can do, naturally speaking. But how if I take that natural example and say, what if together, and I have a chance to see how God is working in different people's lives and how and their pursuit, and I have been so encouraged by so many of you, of just seeing that hunger for the Lord, that undevoted or undistracted devotion, right? It's easy in this life to get caught up. All of a sudden you find yourself, and then some brother or sister shows up and they just, perhaps maybe they've been through a trial and they're just sharing how God is allowed it to break them down, and they've just realized, you know, nothing else matters. You know, you might be caught up in a natural thing. I've probably experienced this times, and then you hear nothing else matters. Man, I just want to know Jesus more. I just want him to change me. And you walk away from that. They don't even know, but you walk away from that, and you're like, Lord, I've been distracted. Like, it's amazing. Just conviction comes when you see someone's just wholeheartedness in seeking the Lord. And what does it do? It spurs you on. And that's what struck me thinking about this example, was just that when somebody's with you, pushing you on, how do we push one another on? And a lot of that can come when we just have that undivided devotion to the Lord and we're earnestly seeking him. It says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What reward would that look like? I hadn't thought about this, but I'll say it right now. Can you imagine what a reward it would be as if you stand before the Lord, you get to the end of your race, and brothers and sisters come up to you and just say, you know what? I just want you to know how much your pursuit of the Lord and your run, your race of faith encouraged me. What a reward that would be. Just, you know, I could see how much you, sister, just diligently sought the Lord, or you, brother, diligently sought the Lord. And there'd be times where I felt like sitting down because I was tired, and yet I would see you and I thought, no, I'd see you persevering through a trial. And I would say, you know what, I need to, if that brother or sister can persevere through trial, I can persevere. And you know what, in a race, oftentimes even in a natural race, that can be the case. Especially you run a longer distance, you start to get tired, and then all of a sudden somebody comes along, maybe they're feeling a little bit better at that moment, and it's what you need. You need somebody that can just, I'm just going to stay with that person and spur them on. You know, there's this passage in Acts. I have never looked at it this way before, but in Acts chapter 16, to turn there. So this is talking about near the end of this chapter, Well, halfway through in verse 14, we see a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira. I'm not sure on that one. It says, my subheading there, Acts 16, verse 14, the subheading in my Bible, it says, the first convert in Europe. So this woman, Lydia, was a worshiper of God, it says in verse 14, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart, Paul was preaching, to the things spoken by Paul, and so she accepted the Lord. And so then after this, Paul and Silas get imprisoned. And, this is an amazing story. They're in prison, they're worshiping the Lord. After they'd been beaten, it says, the crowd rose up in verse 22. The crowd rose up together against them, and all the chief magistrates tore their robes off them, proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. So they get beaten, and then they get thrown in prison. And then so this is familiar passage. It says in verse 25, but about midnight, Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns to praise God, hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. And the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. We know this. And then the prison guard is going to kill himself, right? Because he thinks he's lost all the prisoners. And Paul and Silas say, no, don't do it, don't do it. And so he gets saved out of this. In verse 30, he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So then they tell him, believe in the Lord and you'll be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord together with all who were in his house, and he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized. This is all happening in one night. This prison guard gets saved, his family gets saved, they get baptized. Then the impression you get is that Paul and Silas went back to jail. And I could be wrong on this, but that was just kind of the way I was looking at this quickly this morning. And so they find out that they're Romans. And then there's a lot of concern, like, oh boy, we've imprisoned Romans. So they release them. And then come to verse 40, the very last verse. Then they went out of the prison. That's what makes me think they went back into the prison. They went out of the prison, entered the house of Lydia. And when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. And the only thing, I'm taking some liberty here, but it says that they encouraged them and they left. So you've just come to know the Lord. And then you meet someone. And you hear this testimony. What happened? Like, we were with you. You preached to us. We knew the magistrates. Everybody got upset. Then what happened after that? Because we kind of shrunk away into the crowd. He says, well, we got beaten with rods, and then they threw us in prison. And then we just were singing praises to the Lord, and an earthquake came. And he just goes on and tells them the story. Think of what Lydia and her family would be like. Like, they've got this example now. It's like, wow. This is what my God can do. This is what this God that I've chosen to serve can do. And this is the faith of Paul and Silas, that they're willing to be beaten. And in the midst of being beaten and thrown in prison, they just sing praises. And then because of their faith, this man comes to know the Lord and his whole household. Like, how much would that spur you on in your faith? And it just was, to me, I thought, what a great example. I was thinking about this and praying about this morning. Like, Lord, what's a great example in the Bible where you see brothers and sisters spurring one another on by their walk? And Paul says, brother just report before the service reminded me of this, what he says, and how many times I found two quickly looking. He says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, imitate me or follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Then he says it to the Philippians. And this is a familiar passage in Philippians chapter 3. He says, again, in a way, talking about this race of faith. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. This is the part that I was thinking about when I says, not that I've already obtained it, running in such a way to win. That's what I was thinking. You cannot take solace in the fact that, well, I've been running well to this point. Maybe I'm winning at this point of the race. The race isn't over. And that's where I just see that here. He says, not that I've already obtained it. Like Paul at this point probably could say, you know what, I have run well. But if I just take solace in the fact that I've run well to this point and just kind of now sit down and give up running this race, it profits him really nothing at that point, right? But he says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we've attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. So he was able to say, hey, see the way that I am living and follow that same example. And I think as a body of believers, as brothers and sisters who are seeking to spur one another on, a new thought for me, an encouraging thought for me this morning was just how we in our own walk, just by our diligent pursuit of the Lord, of pressing on to know him, even in the trials that God allows us to walk through, in his perfect wisdom, he'll take us through things. But how we respond in that, God can use that to spur each other on. God can use that to cause us to continue to press on. Even things like what Greg shared this morning, to me, like when all of a sudden, perhaps you're going through something and you just, someone's asking you and you just, you know, it comes out like just how you're clinging to the promises of God. What an encouragement that can be to just be like, wow, what faith. Because that's what Paul said to the Romans, that passage in Romans chapter 1, verse 12, where he says that we could be encouraged by one another, encouraged by each other's faith, right? And that, to me, is in running this race that we could say, like, I want to run it well. I want to finish well. I want to run in such a way as to win. And yesterday gave me a great example of what running where you're pursuing with someone who you're running together to push, you're pushing one another. And it was just a great example or a great lesson for me of like, wow, how much more in the spiritual can we push each other by just diligently seeking the Lord? In that case, it's not a competition to see who's going to finish well. We rejoice as each one is overcoming and as each one is growing in the Lord, but we can spur one another on. So I just want to give you that thought and encourage you with that this morning.